thank you for joining us on this fantastic 8-4 Play podcast, the only place you need to hear about Japan games and Japanese games. I am your host this week, Gabriel Key Figure De Leon. Your normal host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald, is unavailable today. We wish him all the best. He is not sick with the COVID.
We wish him all the bells. All of him all the bells. Currency he can
He's
hold.
Playing Animal Crossing right now, and he said, "I just can't, guys. I just this stock
story,
market."
True story.
I will be leading you through the happenings since our previous show. Joining me, I could not want a better panel with me as we delve into this. Up first, John, Double Decker Riccardi, sir. How are you?
Hi, I get a sir, and I get I'm first. I'm always either last or completely forgotten, so this is a true honor.
I'm going to make you feel welcome here.
Exactly. Double decker. What is a double decker? I'm trying to
think. Well, you had a couple decks that you took a photo of.
Come on, man.
Tina, you know what he's talking about?
Steam decks, my guy.
Yeah.
Oh, those things. Yes.
The things that aren't sold in Japan yet.
I was thinking of, like, you know, a patio, and then I was thinking of, like, a deck of cards. Like,
Think of a bus, like the double decker bus?
No, I just immediately, when I heard deck, I was like, okay, it's got to be something to do with deck. I just wasn't thinking of that deck, so I had.
I'm very jealous. I know that. So go ahead and explain the double decker, John. What you put?
I got my Steam Deck last week, actually. I've had 8-4 has had one for a while now because we had like a developer unit to test games that we've, were involved with. But, and of course I've been using that the whole time because no one else has had access to it anyway. But, when they first went on sale last year, I ordered one and ordered it literally 3 minutes or something after they went on sale, but I still didn't get into the first round. I got in the second round, I guess, like the very end of the ones that went out in June. A good friend of mine, I don't know if he wants to be mentioned, so I won't say his name, but a good friend of the show and someone who does a lot of freelance work for us over in America, grabbed it for me and then shipped it to me.
So he used his Steam Deck reservation for you.
Yeah, because he didn't want one. So fortunately, not everybody's insane. What I mean by that is I'm insane and he's not, and therefore he didn't want one. And so, because they're expensive, man. They're a little ridiculous.
Yeah, which you got the top end
right now. It's like it may as well have been like $1,000 or something. It was really rough, and I was very close to just being like, you know what, I can just play the Office one. I have a chat with a bunch of local friends, and I was like, would anybody want this? And like everybody was instantly like, gimme. And then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, raising his hand. It's like, all right, maybe this is worth hanging on to. In hindsight, I'm glad I kept it. I got to say two things about that. One thing is, another friend of mine was like, hey, you can do this like label thing with UPS. I got my Steam Deck shipped over for like $40. It was great. And I was like, oh, that's cheap and reasonable from America. I'm going to do that. So he helped me out. He like made the labels for me. I gave them to my friend who got the Steam Deck. He like took it to the UPS store, cost like $40 to ship. Boom. Awesome. Steam Deck arrives. Hey, pay 9,200 yen customs taxes. I was like, So basically like another, this shipping ended up costing like $130 instead after paying like whatever the price was. It's like $700 or something stupid.
$650, I think, for the time.
I just moved and I don't cannot afford that at all right now. So it was.
You're paying for the privilege.
I really am in this case. But I have to say I really love it, though. I mean, that hasn't changed from the past few months, but it's awesome. If you can actually get your hands on one, which I know is very hard right now, it's great.
They've been upping shipments, but it still seems like it's just the US and maybe some UK getting Steam Decks. I'm patiently waiting at this point.
I should Steam note Deck the too. Reason I had to go through all that is because they're not officially available in Japan yet. They did say Japan was going to be one of the countries where it would come out, but they haven't said a peep since, and that was like the day they announced the thing. So
yeah, it was funny. Famitsu recently did a like, hey, here's the Steam Deck. We got someone to give us theirs so we could actually like use it.
Yeah,
because they're not coming to Japan yet. Maybe we'll get Steam Deck 2. Maybe we'll get Steam Deck 2.
Somebody was saying that recently, but I kind of agree. I think like by the time they get around to being able to supply the whole world, it's probably going to be like time for the first upgraded version or something,
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm feeling.
Doesn't matter for me, though, because most of the games I play are like 2D and like 20 years old anyway. So
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to emulation stories and whatnot if you continue that route of tinkering, at least changing the Pixel Remaster fonts. Hopefully a smoother process.
I did do that, of course, yeah. Yes. Well, it took a little while. It involved me having to learn how to like navigate Linux on Steam Deck and stuff, but I managed to make it happen. I do think that, like, you know, some of that stuff, like the tinkering and all the accessibility and stuff, could lead to some pretty cool stuff. And like, that's where all the emulators are coming from. People have just basically got everything under the sun running under emulation on that thing. I haven't gone down that path yet, because it just seems like a rabbit hole that will go very, very deep. And I'm going to just enjoy it for the Steam games. That's why I got it, to play actual, you know, legal PC games. But I'm very excited about the possibilities. So,
as am I, as I will enjoy it through you. I look forward to them all.
Curious Steam.
Coming up next, he's been quietly contemplating what it is to be a chocobo riding master. There is Roy, our choco jockey, Blakely.
Howdy.
Howdy, Roy. You had some thoughts that you needed to get off the chest.
Was that our choco jockey, or was that like our, like R. Kelly, like our choco
our jockey? Our.
Oh, okay. Our. Just checking. You got a little bit of that New York there slipped in, and I wasn't quite sure.
Okay. Yes. I have an accent, I'm told.
It's all jockey. Yeah, anyway.
He's our jockey. Roy, what happened, Roy?
Seagulls, how you feeling?
I hate them. I hate them very much. So I thought this was going to be a, like, what are you playing segment. Is it okay to go into this here?
No? Okay, well, before we get into that, we'll go right back to you, Roy.
All right.
Our final one, Tina Paw Patrol Carter.
Hi.
Also a good segue for what you've been playing. But Tina,
hi.
You have anything to say before we get to the seagulls? That's a no.
All right.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, so I will play the listener here. And what the F? What is the Paw Patrol thing about? What are we talking about? Or is this related to the same thing?
I think Gabe had a plan to segue into the game that I've been playing lately with Paw Patrol, but then Roy was like, no, you don't understand. I really need
to
put these seagulls on blast. And I think Roy deserves that. So we should start there.
All right. Well,
thank you, Tina.
Tell me about the seagulls.
So I, Sarah and I
just... stage for us, Roy. What's been happening? You.
So Sarah and I decided to replay Final Fantasy X recently, and we were going through it at a pretty...
version?
It's the HD remaster, like PS5. Okay. Yeah. Going through it at a pretty decent clip. Now we're at the point where it's like end game. All that's left to do, like, we can basically do anything. And then there's like, if we want, we could go to like the final dungeon and what have you. But like, back when Little Roy played this game, 20 some odd years ago, the 21st anniversary of this game was like just this week, I think, by the way. Oh. Little Roy was like determined to get the ultimate weapon for the main character. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is by playing a Chocobo Racing minigame, which I'm going to just setting the stage here.
Classic. It's,
on paper, all it is you ride a chocobo against another rider. The goal is to pick up balloons, which reduce the number of seconds on your timer, and avoid getting hit by seagulls, which not only stun you, but they also add 3 seconds to your time.
Oh,
so,
wow. It's like a five-second penalty.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. So that doesn't sound that bad, right? But I'll add some like pain layers here that are not as clear. But pain layer number one, the chocobo will randomly change directions just whenever the fuck it wants.
Really?
So you might be like going in a direct, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
Because it's a living creature, Roy.
Yeah, I guess.
It's alive.
I
guess.
Apparently,
it
you as the
whims.
Main character suck as but, a like, chocobo jockey.
When you're lined up to get one or more balloons and it just swerves right into one of these birds, it is, I can't tell you how infuriating. Pain point, or pain layer number two, the collision on the balloons is about as wide as the string attached to them.
Oh, jeez.
It's very unforgiving. While pain layer number three, the seagulls It's like they might as well be a golden fucking condor. They're huge.
They're all ho-o sized.
And they come out in, I've done it so many times now that like I know the inner workings. Like one of the things is when the seagulls come out, it's four at a time. Two will randomly either target you or the other racer. So like, and then the next two will target the other one. You know what I mean? So like first it'll target you, then the other guy, whatever. Sure. Okay, another thing, another pain layer. There are invisible walls. And if you hit one of these invisible walls, which, like, good luck trying to figure out where they are. They don't make any sense. If you hit one of them, the chocobo swerves in the opposite direction. So that's bullshit. Oh, another thing, back to the seagulls.
Is this a pain layer?
Yeah, pain layer. I don't even know what number we're on anymore.
Rat five.
Five, okay. When one of the seagulls hits you, you know how I said it stuns you?
Yeah.
And you know how I said like four can come out at a time?
Yeah.
It's possible to get stun locked. I've gotten hit by all four fucking seagulls. Just like, you just get hit and then you're like, ah! And then the other one, ah! And it like sits there and it waits for you to be done with the stun animation. Mm. And then it hits. Anyway, this shit is miserable. The goal, the ultimate goal to get the ultimate weapon is you need to have a total time of 0 seconds. Yes. So the course takes about 35 to 40 seconds to run through. So if you do the math, you need a shit ton of balloons and you sure as shit don't want to get hit by any birds. And correct. I've been doing like an hour or two a night for like, I don't know, maybe a week now. And I've come close. My record is like 1.7 seconds. It's the best I've ever done.
Wow.
I've had
this
like...
This feels like it's, you know, you're on a big boss and you're like, I've made it to phase two pretty consistently, but I need to figure out how to do this shit. Except yeah. It's crueler because the technology is arguably not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm familiar with the mini game you're talking about and it's some shit.
And okay,
it's so unfair.
Yeah. And here's another thing.
Did Boy Roy accomplish this back in the day or
yeah.
No?
I don't know how the fuck he did it. He just had too much time and like he lived in a basement. So he had everything going for him. But so another thing, somewhere along the process of playing the HD remaster, it got me on some wiki pages talking about the changes that have happened to the game from the Japanese version to the English game, to the international version, to the remaster. Every chance they had, they left this fucking game exactly as it is. Nobody was like, let's make it a little less painful.
Right.
No, they just mm-hmm. left it.
Someone sat down and made the decision. They were like, I had to suffer through this shit. Y'all bitches is going to suffer through this shit too. We yeah. are making this easy for no one.
Yeah. So is that, because all of, I remember in Final Fantasy X, all, oh, okay, Pain Layer 6.
Yeah, Pain Layer 6, balloon locations, random, every fucking time. And like, in the very beginning, when you start side by side with the other racer, if yeah. the arrangement is not auspicious, it's possible that you will just miss out on the first like series of balloons and your wow. run is just already fucked.
I just want to take a moment. Good use of the word auspicious.
That thanks.
Like, yeah. Damn, that's college education right there.
This thing, this is, because I did finish Final Fantasy X once. You know, back when it came out, and I really don't remember most of it. But this was optional, or did I do this at some point too?
I believe it was
everybody
optional.
Everybody have to do this yeah. once at least?
No, it's completely optional.
I thought one time was required, but if you wanted to actually get the crystal thingy.
When you get to the Calm Lands, if you want to be able to ride a chocobo, you have to do a little bit of bullshit. Yeah. I think it's the easiest level of chocobo bullshit. So...
basic chocobo bullshit.
Well, there goes the title. So Roy, I have strong memories of most of the ultimate weapons sucking, like of the infamous Yuna dodged the lightning bolt 200 times in a row.
Right.
Some people really they're didn't all... like Blitzball, so Waka was, you know,
yeah,
they're a all miserable experience.
They're all very trying. They really want you to earn them, which like I like. Within reason, and we're bordering on unreasonable now.
So, would you say Tidus's weapon is the worst, just because of the randomness of the chocobo racing?
Oh, So personally, I've never been able to do. I think it's actually Lulu's is the one.
With I said Yuna. Sorry.
Yeah, that one I think is the worst. Like I remember trying it once. I think I got to like 5 lightning bolts, and then I was like, oh no, fuck this.
5 left or 5 lightning bolts?
Just like 5 total, and then okay. I got a hit, and I was like, no, it's not happening. No,
I have a fun memory.
Like, she's kind of like, I feel like the black mage class like starts out really powerful in the beginning of that game and then really drops off towards the end, like, so yeah.
Fair enough. Please let us know if you manage to pull it off.
Okay,
we're rooting for you, Roy.
Thank you.
In your corner, as mentioned before, Tina of Paw Patrol fame.
Hi.
I actually don't know. You know, another time. Tina, you've been playing Stray.
I have. It's great.
Which I believe is available now if you're a PlayStation. What is the tier? The middle tier?
The middle tier. Yeah, which is, what is it, extra maybe?
Whichever
extra
one is not essential.
So, we're just going to say you're in the Stray, available for free as part of the medium or middle tier of PlayStation Plus. Listeners, you can figure out the name of that on your own. But Tina, you've put some time in it, so why don't you tell us what you think?
Well, I mean, so far, I don't know how far in I am, technically speaking, in like a progress bar sense. But I've got about 3 hours in, and the internet tells me it's about 10 hours long.
Okay,
so do you have that tier, or did you buy the game?
I bought the game.
Okay,
because
what does the game cost? For like
the game
normal,
was $39.99.
Oh, okay, wow.
And to upgrade for 3 months would have been $59.99. And I was like, bitch, no. So I did not do that.
Word?
Okay.
Yeah. For the amount that I would actually use the online service stuff involved, it just didn't make any sense for me. Sure. And I am very happy to give the cat game folks my money, because I've been waiting for the cat game since it was first announced. So
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was one of the PlayStation Showcase, like PlayStation 5, here are the first 20 game lineup things, right?
Oh, no kidding. Was it as that far
I
back?
Feel like this was, yeah,
it,
I feel like
it was announced a long time ago. Yeah. It's been on my radar for a long time. So when we finally got a date for it, I was like, okay, penciled it into the calendar and was like, I will allow myself to play Elden Ring until Stray comes out, and then I gotta accept the fact that there are other video games in the world.
Yeah.
And move on for a bit. So it's so far really fun.
So what kind of game is it? Like, it looks like it has some stealth stuff, but like from the trailers, it's still hard to get a read on it.
So I'm in the first, what I would call like the first proper gameplay area. Like, I've made it through the tutorial and kind of the handholdy early stages where they're still teaching you what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the first kind of, you know, if this were a Zelda game, I'm in the first dungeon kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. There's no danger yet. I'm not, you know, at risk of actually getting hurt or dying at any point yet.
Do you have 9 lives?
Apparently there's an achievement if you die 9 times. I died once. Hmm? And it was very upsetting, and I don't want to do it again. I do not wish for this kitty cat to come to any harm because of my failures as a player.
What kinds of things kill you or hurt you?
Well, I can't say, Roy.
It's
the first hour of the game, but
I'm torn because I want to ask like all these questions, but then I don't. I kind of don't because I don't. I also want to play this really bad, and I kind of don't want to know about it. So I'm not going to like not listen, but I kind of don't want to engage in like extending the conversation.
Well,
too
long. That's the thing.
Sorry,
I will say, all you really need to know is that you play as a cat, who has a couple of, you know, tools at their disposal that are beyond cat level, so it's not you know, limiting, but like, if that already is interesting to you, don't ask any more questions, don't look at any videos on YouTube. If you are excited about playing an exploration game as a cat and there's a dedicated meow button, go get it. Do not hesitate.
Okay,
slam that buy button.
Does the cat have a name?
Well, I suppose perhaps it does, but there's no speech in the game. There's only sounds.
But it's not like, you know, name your cat at the start of the game or something like that, or name your character or whatever. It's not that sort of
thing.
You
just start out as a kitty cat with your kitty cat friends, and some things happen, and then you're a kitty cat on an adventure by themselves.
Do you?
It's neat.
Do, nice. Do you like have an inventory? Do you pick up items or?
Yes.
Tell me about. Or wait, is that okay to talk about?
Yeah, this is super basic, like game, like how the game works. Level stuff, and like it happens in the first hour or something, so I don't think it's spoiler territory. If you're already sold on the game, you don't need to listen to this, but early in the game you make a little robot friend, as one does in a post-apocalyptic future society, and your cat wears a little backpack that your robot friend hangs out in, and then your robot friend talks to you walk around,
so it's like a little Banjo-Kazooie.
You like investigate stuff, and your little robot friend will tell you information about it. They'll be like, you know, oh, this is a machine to do XYZ. I wonder if it needs a power source. And then you, little cat, scuttle around and look to find
the power. Does your robot friend speak cat, or does your cat understand robot?
I was just going to ask that.
Well,
they're important questions.
We're getting philosophical now. Okay. Because I suppose the cat doesn't understand anything, because I'm controlling the cat, right? Mm-hmm. I understand what's that. There are speech bubbles and you read them. Deep. And there are several language options for the text on the screen. So
The cat knows Japanese?
We talk about that sometimes, because we have two cats and, you know, we speak to them in both English and Japanese. And they definitely, I think they understand what they want to understand regardless of the language. You know what I mean? Like if it's like they know a few phrases for sure, but they'll also completely ignore us when they feel like ignoring us, you know. But like either way, English or Japanese, it works. If it's food related, they'll get it. You know what I mean? Like I don't understand entirely.
I think part of that too is your tone. Like you could say you have a certain way that you say the word food.
No, totally.
If you say any word with that same tone, they'll be like food. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We have a lot of cat lovers / owners on this podcast, by the way, just FYI. So
we're all going to be big. I believe I'm the only non-cat person on this call, if I'm not mistaken.
Not too late to change that game.
Yes, it is. My apartment doesn't allow pets.
The new one?
You have a whole future ahead of you, man.
Yep. That was actually a choice, though. If you really want to know, John, I don't want to be in a building that allows pets.
Why not, man? What do you got?
Because I don't want to hear your 6 p.m. dog play above me when it's all. And I'm just trying to play my 2-point hospital and make hospitals heal the world. I don't need that above me. I don't need that below me. I'm sure
I don't know if it's necessarily actually true, but I get the impression that pet friendly buildings are more reinforced than average buildings because I don't hear shit. Like since we moved to this building,
and you're in like Animal House, right? Like you guys have like shit like built inside your apartment, like for pets and stuff, right? Like don't you have like a cat? I don't know if it's like cat towers built into.
We have like a built-in cat tower. It's like built into the structure. That's actually kind of
that sounds cool.
I'm kind of similar, and the only sound I hear is children running around. So you got to find yourself an apartment that doesn't allow children, Gabe.
Hope you're far away from small the school.
Humans. No humans.
By next show, I will be in a new apartment on the top floor. Thank you.
Ooh.
It's one of Gabe's fetishes. He was very clear that he had to live very high up because he's afraid of bugs.
It's like not that. A fear when it's rational. Thank you.
Sure.
So anyway, the cat game. It's really good.
I actually do have an obnoxious, but I kind of want to know a question about Stray. Tina, I said this sort of, like I said, obnoxiously previously. As a cat, can you pet other cats?
Well, there is an interact button.
Okay.
So the controls are really, really cozy. And there's a lot of on-screen prompts for where you can do things. So you can't just like jump whenever you feel like it. You have to be in a location where you would jump. And then you press the button to jump. It's
context sensitive. Context, yeah.
Exactly. And there's an interact button that is context sensitive like that. And at the start of the game, you're still with your cat friends and you can interact with them and they each have a different interaction to kind of like show their personalities. There's like a little nuzzle or like a
it's anyone cute. Show their belly.
And there's interactions you can do with some of the beings you meet later on where you can like rub up against them and a cat city like slide along their legs and you do
like
a
Roy's
purr.
Cat was doing against his mic earlier.
Yes. They do a little purr. I don't know
if listeners heard that or not, but
there's a dedicated meow button. You can meow whenever you want, even during cutscenes, which is comedy.
That's
gold.
Funny.
And some of the creatures, when you meow, they'll react, and they show their personalities by how they react to your meow. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Some of them, if you meow next to them, they're like, "Bitch, what the fuck?" And some of them are like, "Oh, you're so cute." And so it's like you create these personal biases of like, "Yo, you shopkeep, I don't like you. You don't think my meow is cute. You're shady. I don't trust you."
Oh, snap.
But you know, it's just fun stuff. But cool. I'm still, like I said, I'm still in the first, you know, kind of major open area. So I have a lot left to discover. But
sure.
So far,
without
super sold on it.
I was going to say, without getting into it, what is sort of, is there a narrative setup that you can explain that doesn't really?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the hook?
So this is something that I'm glad you asked, actually, because this game relies a lot on environmental storytelling. There's a lot to be absorbed from noticing things around you. And I'm not saying that to be like, you know, you need to be an intellect to get, like, it's fucking, you know, they paint shit on the walls and you read the shit on the walls and you go, oh, damn, that's a reveal. Like,
wow, they use fecal matter.
But
actual
it's
cat
very
fecal
well,
matter.
But it's very well structured to gradually have you discover things in a way that feels very natural, but you know that they have made it so that you will find that at that particular point.
Sure.
It's very well put together.
So, like, why am I this cat?
Well,
if it's possible to answer that question without spoiling it, why am I this cat?
Well, you see, Gabe, a while ago, two cats loved each other very much.
Okay.
And then...
I'm not sure if you don't know or you don't want to spoil
something. A little while later, you were born, presumably with some other kitties, too, because most cats are not single babies.
No, they're not.
No, just the game is less is more. For the,
okay.
It starts you off as you're in a group with a bunch of cats and they all meow at each other and then they go off on a little walk and you miss a jump and fall down a deep hole.
Oh no.
I asked a friend to describe like it as like what, because I knew nothing about it other than that you're a cat. I was like, just give me like a genre, you know, equivalent or whatever. And he said it's like kind of like eco, like a I don't know, a walking, exploring sim, I guess, with sort of things to go on in the environment was the takeaway I got, because I also didn't want to dig too deep. So would you say that's accurate?
You're so far you're exploring the environment, speaking to people, you know, putting together clues, searching for, you know, a person has asked you to give them X, Y, and Z, and you're looking for those in the environment. And one you get through a trade sequence, and one you find lying around, and one, you knock over an object and it hits somebody and they get pissed and throw something at someone else. And the thing that they threw is the thing that you need. That kind of interaction. That's not an actual thing that happens, but it's, you know.
Sure, sure.
Spiritually similar.
This is Annapurna Interactive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that later on in the game, you're going to be in more threatening situations. Like, there's going to be hostiles, and like in the trailer I saw the cat getting shot at, which like my heart is not ready for, but
whoa,
whatever. So like there's gonna be danger later. I have not yet encountered very much danger, but they've done a good job of making me aware that danger is out there and I'm gonna have to deal with it.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice. Also, there's apparently some places where you press a button and you just like curl up and sleep and your controller purrs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Does a crow come and pick you up?
So you can totally tell that this game was made by people who just fucking love cats.
I was literally like about to ask you, like, do you get, before you said any of that, I was about to ask you, like, do you get the sense that the people who made this are like, you know, cat owners slash
no question
themselves?
No question. And it's from the little things, like there's one of the interactions you can do is to just sort of like curiously pat at something, and it does that little tentative like pat that a cat does when they aren't quite sure if it's okay to touch something or not.
I love that.
Then when they're kind of like, oh, what the fuck is it? They give it that one big smack. This cat does that.
That's so cool.
It's perfect.
I really
or like
play
there's
this.
there's an ear scratch that's just right. You can, for some reason, there are objects you can interact with to scratch them. And you have to like alternate the trigger buttons to scratch at stuff. And it doesn't seem to do anything. But I do it every time I see something I can scratch, because why wouldn't I?
I love it. Yeah.
Any of the sleeping spots like annoying to some other character in the world? If you sleep on some guy's desk?
You can walk all over somebody's keyboard. You can walk all over somebody's keyboard and the text appears on their screen.
That's funny.
So far, the sleeping spots I've found are like with someone else who's just vibing. Like there's a person who's just like lying down, looking up at the sky, and you can just like curl up next to them and have a nice chill time. In Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I talked about this before, the way Tifa holds those cats is like fucking serial killer behavior. Like,
the way someone doesn't know how to carry cats?
It doesn't make... Like, the people who made that have never seen a cat in real life. Like, it just doesn't...
I don't remember.
She's holding it like it's a barrel, and the cat is just like okay with it for some reason. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, sort of like it's a book? Like the stereotypical, like, holding the book with both arms in front of you on your chest.
It was so distressing to me to see, because I'm like, you're going to make cats that much of a focal point of your early game, and then you're going to make them look like this? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it is a little weird, huh?
It's not the original.
It's unfortunate. It's like, it looks like it was designed by someone who's never held a cat before.
Sure.
And this game is like the complete opposite of that. Like, you can tell that these people have cats and have lived with cats and appreciate all their little weird shit that they do.
Very
and
cool.
Having a great time.
Very cool.
I do want to add, so this is apparently Annapurna Interactive's best game to date, actually. Like,
what do you mean by best game? You mean like in terms of like Metacritic or something? Or they've got some
Steam
pretty great
sales,
games.
Apparently.
Oh, best selling game to date.
Best selling is? Release day. Best peak.
Good for them, man. They make some great stuff. I mean, not everything, you know, lands, but they take a lot of like narrative, experiments. Is that
Leaps.
The right word? You know what I mean? Like, they just try a lot of different interesting stuff.
I must expose my lack of knowledge. What else have they done?
Annapurna. What? Oh man. So they did a really cool puzzle game. Was one of their first games. What was it? Gorogoa or something like that. It was called. You know what I'm talking about?
These guys did Outer Wilds and Neon White. Is that right?
I didn't play either of those, so I'm not sure.
They might
be
the publisher for it.
They are a publisher, but they actively seek out, you know, and I would say nurture, you know, interesting content. They're not just like, you know, random publisher X. They are looking for certain kinds of game experiences. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
Donut County was
exactly.
Fun.
They did that game with the, what is it, with the time? Ugh, I can't remember anything these days. It was like the game where like you keep replaying the same moment over and over again and to like further the story.
12 minutes?
I forgot.
What
it's called.
12
Sorry.
Minutes.
Everyone
yeah, that's
listened.
On here too.
That's
was
it.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah. 12 minutes.
Yeah, and that's too. Like, that's a game that has like some, you know, kind of weird gameplay, like annoyances, but the concept is so interesting and the story is interesting that it sort of carries it. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of game like
Willem
Dafoe these guys
doing. Who knows what kind of accent?
Very cool.
Very cool. John, what are you playing these days? You sort of mentioned, I don't know if we'll edit this out later.
I just moved. So, you know, most of my stuff is still packed, unfortunately. And I haven't had, other than my two Steam Decks, and I haven't had a lot of time to play stuff. But
I'll give you 700 right now.
Right? that's not enough, sadly.
Damn it.
Right before I moved, I finally finished, I don't remember if I talked about this last time, but I finally finished, Alan Wake Remastered, which is something that I've been picking away at Alan Wake for like years now, because I started on the Xbox 360, then like very late, after Control. Let's go all the way back. Control is a super amazing game.
Right.
Control had a bunch of references to Alan Wake. Mm-hmm. I had always been interested in Alan Wake, but never really got around to it. So I was like, cool. Got an Xbox 360. Started playing it, and then like, you know, 2 or 3 hours in, like, you know, the game, and then like they go and announce the remaster. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna put this down, I'm gonna wait for the remaster.
Yeah,
remaster came out, got that, and then it took a while to get through it because it's a fascinating game. Like, it's a really interesting story, and characters and setup and everything, but the gameplay, it feels a bit dated and can be frustrating. By the end of the game, I'm like a wizard. I can like do anything in that game, so it doesn't bother me anymore. But for a little while, I was like getting frustrated to the point where I'm like, okay, I want to stop playing today and do something else because this game is like super frustrating sometimes. But anyway, I finished that and then finished both of the DLCs that came out for it. And I, you know, all of this is like in an endeavor to, I want to play one of the Control DLCs, which is about Alan Wake. I don't know anything more about it than that. So don't spoil it if you do, but like, I know that one of the Control DLCs somehow connected to Alan Wake.
I believe it's if I'm remembering the press release right, it was something to the effect of the DLC kicks off the, whatever you want to call it, Alan Wake Control Remedy Universe, whatever it is called.
Yeah, because Control had a lot of references to what happened in Alan Wake as a sort of thing that happened in the world of Control, which was very cool. But so, you know, we finished that, and then, you know, it was without, I mean, it's an old game now, but I won't spoil it. But like, I will say the ending is kind of not satisfying. Like, the ending is like sort of, what? That's it? That's what happened? Or that's how they're ending it? Huh. You know, and like, and so. That's- I was like, okay, well, I want to get onto this Control stuff. However, there is a quote unquote sequel. There's this Alan Wake's American Nightmare game. Do you ever hear
of
this?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's like a supposedly like a slightly arcadey take on Alan Wake. But I started playing that on my Steam Deck actually, because it was like $3 on the Steam summer sale. And so,
yeah.
And it, you know, it does continue the story effectively where it left off. So I'm playing that now. And it is a little more arcadey. And it's, you know, it's a game of its, a product of its time, I guess. I think the game is like 10 years old by now or something. So, you know, it's a little old, but at the same time, it feels a little newer than the first Alan Wake because it is newer, right? And so, and again, with that arcadey type thing, it feels slightly different, I guess. But anyway, like, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to try and just barrel through that because I want to get back to Control. Control is like one of my, you know, the best times I've had on
really?
PS5, at least. And the game is great. I loved it, like, top to bottom. It was so good. And, but we, you know, didn't, my wife played it too. She played it on Xbox while I was playing it on PS5, kind of like side by side. And neither of us have done the DLC yet. So, we're kind of going through the whole, like, Remedyverse now, you know, to get back to it and get to the DLC.
Aren't they remaking Alan Wake 1?
That's what I played. That was the remaster.
Remake. I thought there was no remake.
There's an Alan Wake 2 coming. They're making Alan Wake 2.
Okay.
Very. And they're also you might be thinking of Max Payne. They're remaking Max. I think it was. Is it Max Payne 3?
They were one and two. Three was Rockstar.
Something with Max Payne, or maybe they're making a new Max Payne. I forget.
Guys, name five. The Reckoning.
We skipped 4 because we just knew the reviews weren't going to be good.
Yeah, I think they said there's going to be like a Max Payne like 1 and 2 remake or so, something like that. I forget. Sure. I don't know. Oh, yeah, 1 and 2. Max Payne 1 and 2 are getting remade.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a name, man.
You know, all of those games.
Max Payne.
Well, yeah, that's part of the
Max Power.
You've ever played it, it's pretty great. It's pretty funny. And I feel like they were at least the first time I remember bullet time. Like, they kind of pioneered that whole concept.
Yeah.
And it was such a fun game. So I'm actually really excited. I became like a huge Remedy fan because of Control. Control is just like so good that now I'm just signed up for whatever they do from now on.
Awesome. All right.
What else? I like dabbled in the Live Alive demo because that actually is out today if you're listening to this. Live Alive is the Super Nintendo Square RPG that never got localized until now. It's getting remastered as a what do they call it? HD 2D? 2D HD? I forget which comes first. Basically like the Octopath Traveler style, you know, of gorgeous kind of 2D/3D stuff. And a demo came out and the demo, you know, the progress carries over to the final game. And I played a very little bit, but then I just decided to wait. Mostly because I've been busy. But I'm very excited to play that game. I've been waiting to play that. Fun fact, I bought that game new when it came out in, I don't know, 1995 or something. And that was like right I started importing. Like, I had played through Dragon Quest V and Final Fantasy V and some other stuff. And I imported it for like $100, which was a lot of money. I was like 20 or something. So that was a shit ton of money. And B, like, that's what Super Nintendo games cost in Japan back then. And it was too much for me. Like, I had known, I taught myself enough Japanese at that point to play through stuff I was familiar with, like Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy. Cause you kind of, or if you've played them before, you kind of already know the basics, right? Of like how the game works and stuff. But Live Alive was just like just totally new thing. And it was too much for me. And I ended up selling it. So this has been like, how many years has that been now? This is like 30 years in the making, basically. So I'm very excited to play this. And that's out today. And I ordered the stupid collector's edition from the Japanese e-store. I say stupid because it's just like, I don't remember what's in it anymore. I just remember it was expensive. And
is it massive?
It was, yeah. Let me see if I can pull it up here. It was like, it came with like a bag and like, basically like, you know, a bunch of trinkets. And
wait, does it come with a physical board game?
It comes with a board game, yeah.
A whole ass board game.
And like a little, I think like a little plastic model and stuff. Like it was not cheap, but it was like, again, this game has like history for me and I've always really wanted to get into it. So I was kind of excited to support it. And then I realized today, like, oh, cool, it's going to arrive tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, I moved. Like, I ordered this in February. Before.
Wait, did you not set up mail forwarding?
I did, but I don't. So let me finish the story. So I bought it in February when they first announced it. At that time, I wasn't even thinking of moving. Like, we were just starting to talk about, oh, maybe we'd, you know, start looking around or whatever. And then, yeah, like, between then and now, we started looking, we found a place, we moved. And I realized I had sent it to my old address. And so, and I did set up mail forwarding, but I don't know if that carries over to, like, the mail, like Yamato. And Sagawa
private
and stuff.
Couriers are different.
Yeah, animal. No, yeah. Right.
And so, I, like, hastily sent the mail to support. And I was like, can you, you know, do this, whatever. And, you know, I mean, I think it'll be fine because service here is very good. And like, if it does go to my old place, whoever it is going to notice and they're going to, you know, the couriers that, you know, do this stuff and they will contact me. But like, hilariously, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to get it tomorrow or like what's going to happen. So hopefully that was.
Can I go on a small tangent about collector's editions for a second?
Sure.
Sure.
So I recently indulged and spent a bunch of money on the internet to get the Elden Ring Collector's Edition because I wanted all the shit that was in it.
Mm.
And this is something that like has, I don't want to say annoyed because that's like, that feels like too strong of a word, but something that's kind of bugged me for a really long time is like, games put out these super awesome collector's editions, but if your game is new, I don't even know if I'm going to like your game enough to want to have a bunch of shit from it. Do you know what I mean?
Have swag, yeah.
But I think like, most of these are from game. Most of the time these come out on either, you know, established or like pre-existing games or franchises. Or in this case, it's like there are from fans now. Like they couldn't have done this with their first game. But like for this, it's like, okay, you kind of knew if you like the Dark Souls games, they could have put out like a collector's edition with like an Elden Ring toilet and
I
still like 10,000 people.
I mean, I know that logically makes sense, but there's so many games that like, I didn't know that I was going to like them ahead of time. And then I really, really liked them. And then it's like, I would love to throw my money at these people and there's nothing for me to buy. Because the only thing that existed was a collector's edition that if I buy it used on eBay, they're not getting any of my money.
You can upgrade to the digital collector's edition.
But that's the nature. Yeah, those are so lame. But that's the nature nature of collector's editions and these things too, right? Is that you are effectively... the costs and obviously this is something that we've spent a lot of time thinking about recently because we just started Super Deluxe in Japan, but like, you know, the cost of these things and the manufacturing logistics and all that are, you know, heavy and deep and take months to coordinate and stuff. And so like, it's very hard to like create something cool like that and then just have it be like forever available, you know? So it's kind of like, you have to be at the front and center of the, you know, fan line or whatever, if you're going to indulge in these things. I'm curious what you think, because I thought it looked kind of lame. Like, I thought, like, the stuff that comes with it... I mean, is that the one with the...
Wait, are you talking about the collector's Elden Ring, edition? Yeah. Oh, the Elden Ring. So,
Did you buy it? Right? You bought it, like, after...
I did. I bought it on the internet, and I got the,
Did you get the statue?
That's exactly why I bought it.
Okay, because the statue's dope.
The statue is sick. So, yeah. I fell down a horrible rabbit hole. I'll keep this brief. So
no, I want to hear about it. Yeah,
Elden Ring is dope.
We have to meet our Elden Ring quota anyway.
So. Elden Ring timestamp, go. Elden Ring is fucking great, and I cannot run from the level of obsession that I have with it at this point. Like, there's no denying at all.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I would love to have some stuff from this game. I wonder what exists.
Sure,
so yeah. I start looking around on the internet and there's like big, crazy collector's editions and stuff that I'm like, these are hundreds of dollars. I'm not really. Meh. And no. I saw that there was an art book in one of the collector's editions. And I was like, that is a thing that I would want.
Sure. Yeah.
So I start looking on eBay for just like people who have you know, taken apart the collector's edition and are just selling
unboxing,
it for
yeah.
parts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so I, because I wanted to buy just the book, and that would have been like $20.
Yeah.
And then I went into that spiral of, oh, but it comes with the soundtrack too. Oh, there's like a cool, a steel book. You know, I should really get the game on, because I only have it on download. I should really get a physical copy of the, oh, there's an entire fucking statue of Melania. And I just like hammered that fucking buy button.
You didn't
button.
Say her name right. It's Melania Blade of Mikola. Thank you.
Yeah. And so did. I did the thing and I bought the whole fucking set. And I'm not mad about it because it's super cool.
Can
but
I,
my
are,
point
are you
is,
willing to, are you willing to reveal what you spent on it? Because I'm kind of curious what it goes for now.
Isn't it?
I don't want to get too specific because I don't want to dox myself.
Give me a like between, you know, X and Y.
Well, number. This how much was this thing at retail when it was new?
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't even know. It's probably
collector's
like
editions with consoles
right?
like are usually like what?
That's a really good question.
This yeah, would have been more sure. expensive because it's got like a full fucking really nice figure in there.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't the one that had the helmet.
Wait, there's one that had a helmet too?
There was like an ultimate super edition that had like a 1-to-1 scale of her helmet, which is fucking
mean,
cool, but like I don't have the money for that.
You mean Millennium Blade of Mikola's helmet?
Is what it cost, it looks like.
What was
it,
John?
First came out. $260. No, wait.
So I paid
wait,
double
I see
that.
Another one that says $190. So actually, I don't really know.
I paid more than double what it was at retail initially.
Damn, girl.
Yeah, man.
Good.
And
I
mean,
thought it was gonna be more.
I looked around enough that there were.
Did you look on Metacritic? Because like I'm looking on Metacritic now and I see it for like 27.
I wanted an English copy of the game.
Ah.
Oh.
So
because I was like, I might as well get a physical copy of the game too, in case you know. The fucking apocalypse hits and my digital downloads are no longer available to me, but my television and my PlayStation still work for me to play Elden Ring.
Just write sure. it out.
But it has English on the Japanese version too, you know. But
the yeah. physical does? Because the download
yeah.
doesn't.
Yeah, From Software games are
oh,
usually
right.
English text.
Yeah, you're right.
Or Japanese text, English audio.
They're weird about that stuff, yeah.
Because
yeah.
we know multiple people
normal
who got,
do, but yeah.
who got
yeah.
fucked because they downloaded the game from the Japan store and then realized afterwards it didn't have English.
Right, right. So
I know a couple of people that happened
yeah,
to.
Fair point. Fair
How
point.
Is the art book? Is it good or is it crap? Because like
I'm not gonna say that it's crap, but it yeah. is not like full scale fancy art book. It's a
right.
nice bonus inside of a fancy package.
Okay.
Like it's the size of a children's picture book. Mm-hmm. It's not you know, there's cool artwork in there, but there isn't like, you know, information about the concept art and like stories about it and all that stuff. Like the stuff you would expect in like a Dark Horse book or something. It's nothing like
right,
that.
Right.
So if you can find one for like $15 or whatever, totally go for it. I love art books, so I'm really happy to have
sure,
it.
Sure.
But I think we talked about already the like ultimate guides are coming out later this
they
year,
are,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So those are where to throw your money if you want a really good book, I think.
And you said the soundtrack is just digital, right?
And the soundtrack's a digital download, yeah.
That's a bummer. Like to me, it's like if you're gonna do this whole big physical thing, but I guess in the West, maybe you know, I know CDs aren't as big as they were in the past, but like in Japan, it's still super common to have a CD soundtrack. I want
if
a
they
CD
put
soundtrack.
Out a physical if they put out a physical soundtrack, I will throw my money at them.
Yeah, it is.
I can see them doing a vinyl. I can see them doing a vinyl at some.
I would rather a CD.
I love vinyl. Don't get me wrong, but like, you know, what's it going to take like 6 vinyl discs or something to get the whole soundtrack? Like, I would like a CD soundtrack for
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Sure, sure. So Tina, you bought, did it come with, so it came with the physical game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because.
PS5? PS4? Which one did you get?
PS4, right?
I got PS4 because it was significantly cheaper than the PS5 one.
And she wants locked 60 frames per second. When she plays her Elden Ring on the PS5. And that's the only way to do that. But the reason I ask Tina is because certain collector's editions that were announced since the last show include a steel bookcase.
And a download code?
And a download code.
Oh, what?
And with that, I guess now is as good as ever to segue to the news. I'm
was
that play...
something I was supposed to get and I didn't? Or what are you talking? Or is that what you're about to talk
I have
about?
No idea what he's talking about. I just guessed from
I'm
context
about, okay.
clues.
I'm gonna play the news theme here.
News. News. news.
John is not hiding his opinion on that news theme now that Mark isn't here.
Oh, you know, whatever. I'm more. It reminded me that Rob Zombie's Monsters trailer came out like last week, and it's glorious and amazing. And
this is headline news in the books of John. Yeah,
it's so good. I mean, I guess in the context of someone who like grew up watching the Monsters and knows how cheesy and stupid it is, good. You know what I mean? But it captures the cheese and stupidity, and actually the sort of the nuances of the characters like incredibly well. Like it's pretty rare to see, like you see games like remake something and get it like very close to the original, but you rarely see movies where the actors like not only are playing the same characters but playing them and trying to like mimic their like facial expressions and movements and mannerisms and stuff, and they nail it so hard in this. So very excited about that, and it's only appropriate because you just played Rob Zombie music for our stupid new theme, so please continue.
Yes, God of War Ragnarok. About 2 hours after we wrapped up our early recording, last show, got a release date, November 9th of this year. It is a 2022 game. Mm. And as mentioned before, there is going to be a collector's edition that comes with a steelbook and a download code.
Is that the only one, or there's also one that has a physical version?
There's at least half a dozen editions here. We got our standard edition with a $10 PS5 upgrade if you get it on the PS4. There is the digital deluxe edition, which is just, hey, you get the PS4 and PS5 versions of the game, as well
But the thing that I really want to know, I'm sorry to like cut right to it, but like, so you're saying there's a steelbook but no game?
That's one of the.
But I'm is there also a version that has a steelbook with a disc too, or like the only steelbook version is a download code?
I believe so. The list I have here, thank you, Video Games Chronicle, by the way. Both the collector's edition, and I'm going to mispronounce this because there's an umlaut on the O, the Jutnar edition have voucher codes. For God of War,
they literally say in the promo image, "Steelbook display case, no game disc included."
But okay. This must be old news, and everybody has had this conversation already. But
it's news to us. Go off.
Well, no, I'm confused. I that can't. Why? What?
They took away our manuals. They took away our
like some really cool shit in here, though. There's like a whole dice set in one of them. There's like, as soon as you have a cloth map, I'm on board. I love a good cloth map.
Yes,
I love all this stuff looks very cool, but I am just baffled at the steelbook without the game disc. There must be some. I feel it's one of those things where like you hear it and you're like, okay, there has to be further context that we're missing. You know, we are the A4 Play podcast. We don't really research anything. We don't know what the hell we're talking about, so we're probably wrong. That's kind of how
Makes me wonder if there's like a it comes with a voucher to redeem for a physical copy at your local Target. Do you know what I mean? Because like my Elden Ring collector's edition, not to harp on it, came with a steelbook case. And then it had just like the shrink wrapped game in a normal plastic case.
Well, that's normal. Yeah, that's standard. Usually how it works. Yeah,
so maybe they have some kind of a. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. I don't know.
It's weird, but yeah. All right.
But
I mean, unless the idea was like, well, no, because you said it comes with a code. Yeah, so
comes with a code on the swag editions is what I'll call them.
What do they think you're going to keep in there? Is it that you can keep your weed in here situation? Oh. Like, nobody?
Keep the code in there.
Yeah, just keep the code
in there. Keep the code in there. You can cut it into a circle or something. Punch a hole in the middle. That's like a disc.
Damn, it comes with a whole ass vinyl record.
Yeah, speaking
and
of
those have been a bitch to make the last couple of years. So, like, that's a lot.
Yes. Speaking of being a bitch to make. John, E3 is back.
Was I a bitch to make? Oh.
No, not at all. Not at all.
My parents are no longer with us to answer that question.
Oh, my.
Sorry, what was that?
E3 is coming back under new sort of like partnership, I guess that's how I will say.
PAX people, the guys who
the
run
PAX people
PAX,
read pop. Yeah. PAX people read pop are going to be helping out with E3 2023, which is coming back after a 2-3 year. Or did they do that weird E3 thing last year, or was that 2 years ago? Pandemic.
No, that was there was no E3 this year at all.
Definitely not this year, and the first year of the pandemic, which is not going away. 20,000 cases in Tokyo, but okay.
30,000. Over
30,000. Oh,
yeah, biggest day ever.
We did it, friends. We beat it. E3 is coming back, and they have been very kind of upfront as part of the, like, hey, we're organizing this thing, Read Pop, saying that, like, you know, we're going to figure this out. It is a hard problem to solve, and we're going to figure this out. The direct quote here from Lance Fensterman, the president of Read Pop, is with the support and endorsement of the ESA, we're going to build a world-class event to serve the global gaming industry in new and broader ways that we already do at Read Pop through our portfolio of world-leading events and websites, obviously alluding to PAX and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, man, cool, man. I mean, I certainly up to give it a shot. It couldn't get a whole lot worse, I feel like. And I don't mean that like in the kind of like dunking way, but I mean, E3 used to be a lot more exciting and fun and interesting. And then they started getting greedy and, you know, and inviting the public, but like not in a smart way. And so in a way that wasn't comfortable for the public and also wasn't comfortable for like exhibitors. So it was just kind of a mess. And so like, reboot it, man. Let's see how it goes. Yeah. You know,
it seems like, 2023 is going to be a very interesting year for E3. Roy,
I'm not going to be comfortable probably still being in a giant hall full of people, but you know,
well, based on
that I can watch it on YouTube or whatever.
I mean, based on 30,000 cases today, I'm looking at TGS and going,
the deep, dark, dirty secret is TGS has sucked for like 12 years now, so that's not
you
like
take that back. That back.
Come on, guys. Like, TGS
I love the Earth Defense Force exhibits.
Yeah, I do. That is the funnest part of TGS was always just going around to try to find the super obscure, weird stuff or like see who had the most offensive booth, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, it was. But, yeah, sometimes it's.
it was never like E3 level, you know, not in over a decade at least. So, but whatever. Yeah. It's back this year, so you can go have fun there.
It's a hybrid event. We'll see what goes
what
on there.
But that means like they're trying to encourage some people to stay home. Like,
I think it's just going to be like they're going to have in person and then sort of how they stream the broadcast.
Sure.
Yeah. So not actually super enticing. You know, what Rockstar doesn't find super enticing, much to Roy's chagrin.
These transitions.
Red Dead Online officially, for lack of a better phrase. Is Red Dead. That's better than what I was going to say, which was the literal thing where it's in maintenance mode. Rockstar recently announced, hey, it's kind of all hands on deck for GTA 6. Oh my gosh, we're doing a GTA 6. And Red Dead Redemption, your online, or Red Dead 2's online game, Red Dead Online, which I think last spring or last winter actually was like a separate SKU. You could buy separately without having to buy Red Dead 2. It's a maintenance mode, and what that basically means for those who don't know is they're done adding content. They'll keep the lights on. They'll keep letting you spend dollars for whatever doubloons.
Oh, so it's not actually going away. It's just not updating anymore.
Yeah, they're gonna keep it but it's not their focus. It kind of never was.
This sounded like, you know, more dark and dreary.
I thought they were taking it away. Like, I thought maintenance mode, and, you know, we're sending your game to a nice farm upstate.
Offline. Yeah.
No, maintenance mode means they're done. Like, don't expect anything out of this except glorious game breaking bugs that cause calamitous crashes. No new features, no new things.
Are you still playing it? Like, do you?
Yeah. So, like, this is one of those games that I, every so often, like every few months, I just need to sign in and get on my horse and smoke a cigarette and ride off into the sunset. You know, it's one thing that I really like about it is every day you sign in, it's like, here's a little checklist of some simple tasks. And if you do these, you'll get some EXP and some money. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. It's just, it's a chill thing to do, spend a little bit of time on each day. But I will say, like, it's been a year since they added anything. Like, it was over a year ago that they actually added anything. And all they added was, like, a new... They tried to, like, slip in a new kind of currency that they were hoping would turn into something, and it didn't. Yeah. But it's just a shame because, you know, I got really into the online, and then I went back and finally played the story. And over the course of playing the story, I realized, like, how much there is that they've already kind of planned and already have assets for, already have systems and minigames just sitting there. It's crazy that they just can't be asked to, like cobble something together that makes sense for the online. Like, you know, there's a whole little mini game where you, like, build a little house, build a little ranch. And that's, like, one of the things that all the player base has been begging for like, years. Just let us make a ranch.
Yeah.
and another thing, like, the assets are, like, they're all little masterpieces. Every little, like, this game has aged very well for that reason. Like, you walk into any shop and you, like, look at the shit on the walls. You, like, you can, like, look at your gun really close, and there's, like, slight little blemishes on, like, the wooden stock and everything. It's a shame that they couldn't figure out how to do more with it, considering the potential.
That's a bummer, but I mean, at least it's not going away entirely, so you can still, if you have that urge to smoke, you can still jump in.
The thing that I understand about Rockstar is it seems like they really only want to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And it seems unlikely that they would be like, okay, GTA 6, we're done with that. Let's go back to that Red Dead Online and figure that out. You know?
Right. Yeah. So,
it's actually, we'll I didn't mention in, or it's been talked about to death sort of in the off week for us, but like the Red Dead remaster and GTA 4 remasters were canceled recently. Like that got out. That leak was confirmed by a couple of reputable sources.
Were they ever actually officially confirmed though? Or
they were serious about doing them, of doing remasters of Red Dead 1 and GTA 4, and then the reception.
But they didn't announce them, right? Like they didn't say like, hey,
No. But the reception of the GTA 3 trilogy spooked them out of it. So now they're like, you know what, screw it. We're just gonna, sort of like Roy was saying, we're just gonna focus on GTA 6.
Sure.
We're just gonna go make a ton of money doing this and work really hard on
it. And they will, I'm sure.
Yes.
That sounds really unfortunate though, because when this topic first started, I was gearing up to ask Roy, like, well, but it's been a while since they put out something new. So, like, you know, if you're still enjoying going into the game and just kind of dinking around and doing your own stuff, like, it's not that big a deal, right? But then instead you're like, they had all this shit and they didn't use it. That sucks.
Yeah, it's like, remember when Animal Crossing came out and they were like, they just hold everything back? It's like,
and then
feels
by the
like
time they gave it to us,
doing...
it was like, I'm not playing your game anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But here it's like, they never really opened the floodgates, it feels like.
That's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
really good beaver picture, though.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Is there actually a photo mode in that, or was that just like manipulation of the camera?
Yeah, that is one of the things they added like 2 years ago, was the naturalist role where you go around taking photos of animals and also like sedating them to get like blood samples.
That's like an entirely different fucking game. The scope of these, I'm going to sound like
it
an
went
old
from
lady
sounding
here, like
pleasant,
the scope
pleasant
of these games
friendly,
is
like,
massive.
Really dark, like in like 3 words.
Well, the it's to like study wildlife and like learn about their habits, and like I think it was going towards the direction of like, hey, we need to actually protect nature rather than just steamroll over it, like was kind of the way things were going during that time.
I see.
Yeah.
So instead, you got a really sweet photo mode.
Yeah.
What was the photo that you got that you really liked? I missed the
beaver.
It was it's a picture of a beaver swimming, and we used it as the episode picture like a year ago or something.
Oh, okay. Wow, good memory.
Roy's memory. Beaver shot. Okay.
Well, Roy, speaking of games that eventually reach their potential, you got really excited today or earlier before we were recording, saying some No Man's Sky news that you wanted to get out there.
Yeah, this is the first update where I'm kind of like feeling like it's substantial enough that I'm interested.
Is there another update coming?
Yeah. I forget what it's called. Don't have the article
in that show prep document quietly.
I see endurance update on their website.
That's it. Yeah. So the biggest thing, at least to me, is they've overhauled how freighters work. A freighter is like your like huge, massive spaceship that like can function as a base. Like you can completely customize the interior. And it sounds like it, like a lot of the design of the things you could add or take away is like leftover from years and years ago. And they showed in the trailer, like it looks completely different, like very sleek and I don't know, a lot more detail put into it. A lot more like space you can create, or like these freighters, like you can turn them into like anything, like a factory, like a huge garden. So that to me, I'm excited for.
I love that this game is like, it's continuously just adding new shit. And like, you know, I mean, we've talked about this probably a few times now, but it's just great how it like, they started off promising all this shit, then like kind of under-delivered and dug a hole and then dug out of the hole and then just kept going and going and going and going. And now it's just like, and that's coming out for Switch soon. And it's like,
got all this extra shit. What I was checking right now. October 7th.
Impressive.
Switch version.
Good for those guys. I still haven't even played it. I own it. I got the, I guess, PS4 physical version when it came out and like still in the shrink wrap. Like it's one of those things that I'm interested in and would love to check it out someday. But like it looks, it's intimidating, like how much there is in that game that I'm like, okay, if I'm going to play that, I'm going to have to like, you know, be done with Final Fantasy 14 or something else, you know, giant.
You have to put something away.
I don't think it's that big.
Yeah.
Isn't it like multiple galaxies and solar systems?
It's kind of
the universe.
It's really
billions
like,
of planets, and
it's honestly a bit like Animal Crossing in that, like, despite all of that, really your main objectives are to gather materials and build whatever the fuck wherever you want. Like,
right?
Sounds good.
That's what it boils down to, and maybe look cool if you're into that. I am
into looking cool.
Like, you know,
fashion is important.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is all about looking cool? Platinum Games. And Miss Bayonetta herself.
On a roll here,
has
Dave, damn.
Gotten a release date. Don't hype me up because then I'm going to overthink it. Don't hype me up. I mean, you know, it's like the baseball pitcher. Don't say anything. He's just going. Just let him go. Bayonetta 3 got a release date. As I scroll real quickly because I forgot it off the top of my head. October 28th, speaking of October, Platinum Games, it's Nintendo Switch exclusive. They announced a new character. Was the new character revealed with this trailer that got teased, or was that previously known?
You're
it was new to me.
Wrong, at least the wrong me, maybe the wrong all of us. I don't know, but I have no idea.
Okay. Well, this was actually not part of the recent sort of indie Nintendo Direct thing. It was sort of caught between directs
important enough that it deserved its own moment to shine, Gabe.
Oh, I was gonna say Naive Angel Mode gets its own moment to shine.
Talk
people
about
Roy is looking at me like, what are those three words? Don't make sense together.
Isn't that basically like G-rated Bayonetta?
That is the like, I'm playing at the airport and I would prefer if the mom who's letting her kid watch me play Bayonetta doesn't see all of this. This is exactly what happened to me about 3 years ago.
Uh-oh.
Yes, as part of this Naive Angel mode, it is sort of a safe for work mode. They have a very clear example of Bayonetta doing some summoning spell. In the normal mode, she is basically naked and her hair is covering her parts, which is standard for Bayonetta. And then in Naive Angel mode, she keeps her outfit on as she does her magical stuff. I actually never beat Bayonetta. That airport experience kind of made me go, I'm going to put this away so I can play something else so the mom doesn't get upset with me. And I never picked it up afterwards.
I love
that. Bashful.
I think I would have loved it more if the characters like didn't talk, but the game itself was awesome. Like the first game was really fun. But then two, I don't know. Like I was all ready for two, and I don't think I even played it.
I have those Switch versions ready to go. So maybe
I have it too. Yeah,
Maybe if I got some flights.
I never
up.
Got the two though. It's like, oh, three. Well, I'm really excited. I'm happy three is coming. I know a lot of people are really excited about it, but like I still have two on my list. So yes. It's gonna be years before I get to three. So,
yep. How are you on Endwalker, John? You mentioned Final Fantasy 14. Did you manage to get through Shadowbringers?
No, we've only played like I don't know, like the first hour or so of that. We are we're pretty behind. Like we completely finished Shadowbringers, but then.
Yeah, all the
Endwalker was right around. I don't know. We got sidetracked, and then it's been months again. We'll get back to it.
That reminds me, Gabe. You've seen the stuff about the island you can get now, right? Last time I mentioned that you didn't know what that was, but
I have not touched. I'm going to have to hand in my cool guy card. I have not booted Final Fantasy 14 since like January or so. When did Elden Ring come out?
February. Wow. You're not still playing Elden Ring, are you?
I actually have not touched it since the last show, so I broke free.
You're almost free.
No, because it's all, we didn't talk about it, but it's all 2-point hospital. Anyway, going back to Platinum, I shouldn't play management games, John. They consume me, is what I learned.
A lot of things consume you, it seems like.
Yeah, maybe it's actually just a problem with me, actually.
It's not a problem, Gabe.
Okay.
No, it's a feature, it's not a bug.
It's a feature. New apartment, got that neuro. So if anything, it's worse. It will be worse when I can download games fast. And
what he's talking about is super fast internet for those of you who don't live
super,
here.
Super good Sony internet. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Speaking of Platinum, they made a very public, interesting new hire. His name is... I just lost it here. So former Nintendo of Europe executive... was hired. Why can't I find the story?
It's Takao Yamane.
Thank you. Takao Yamane has become vice president and chief business officer of Platinum Games. This came through via Famitsu, apologies. And as part of this sort of announcement, they have also made a very interesting declaration, and maybe it was sort of lost in translation, as does tend to happen with the translated news posts, is they're sort of saying, We being Platinum are going to bring significant change to our company with this hire from Nintendo. So, I mean, there has always been the sort of unofficial Platinum A team, B team. Babylon's Fall didn't do too hot. That Platinum live service game. I think Square Enix published that, right?
Yeah.
We will see what comes out of that, but it's a very interesting play, I guess you could say, by Platinum. Yamane was at Nintendo for 27 years, which, okay, for Japan, people stay at companies for a long time there. That's still a like, you should be retiring now unless you really, like, they must have made a very compelling offer that probably wasn't just money. To bring him on board as sort of
he said it. There was an interview or something on their site. I remember when they announced it, and he said, you know, he just turned 50 recently, and he wanted to try, you know, a new challenge or whatever. And so the timing worked out. I mean, good for them. They obviously, you know, they are extremely popular, but they haven't been like maybe the highest selling. You know, their titles haven't been the highest selling, and so you know, if this guy can come in and give them the spark that they needed to sort of. Reach a bigger audience, man, more power to him. Like, I'm obviously love some of the stuff that Platinum has made, so I wish them the best. But yeah, who knows? Like, people were reading that story and saying that like Nintendo is going to acquire Platinum or something, and that just seems kind of silly to me. Like, just because they hired a former Nintendo guy doesn't mean they're gonna, you know, be taken over. In fact, why would that happen? Like, if he left Nintendo, Nintendo's gonna bring him back or something?
Like, yeah, it seems like the opposite is anything. If this is more of a like reinforcing their sort of, would you say Platinum is, no, they're still third party Nintendo. I was going to say second party, but not in the way, who made
that? Don't get me started on that conversation. We've had long discussions about the definition of second party and third party, and nobody can agree. So let's just move on.
All right, moving on. Speaking of Nintendo, they made a very interesting acquisition recently. They acquired the CG company Dynamo Pictures here in Japan. And as part of that, they have rebranded them as Nintendo Pictures Co. Limited. And it seems like they're bringing in a lot of in-house CG production stuff. This comes from Video Games Chronicle. Apparently, Dynamo Pictures have been sort of not contractors for a lot of video game companies producing lots of cutscenes and I was going to say machinima, but not. I mean,
did they work on the movie, on the Mario movie or something, or
that is no, that is a separate entity. That is Nintendo Studios is working with Universal? Who is the Minions people? Whatever.
I don't know.
The Minions people. That movie came out. I didn't know there was another Minions movie coming that came out.
I heard you're a fan.
I've not seen one. I also didn't know this. Dynamo Pictures has helped with some notable anime and TV shows. Yuri on Ice was a massive show, anime here in Japan. But they've also done CG work on games like Death Stranding, Persona 5. They actually helped with those Pikmin shorts that went on the Wii U. Does anyone but me remember those? Just me.
You.
Okay, cool. Just me. But yeah, it's a rather interesting acquisition by Nintendo. I don't know. Maybe they're just moving all of their sort of in-house cutscene stuff, being really satisfied with their work and you know, getting them to do it for just them. Almost done here. Well, Mark's not here, so I guess I won't talk about the Resident Evil series that just came out.
I saw people talking about that. Like,
I heard it's incredible. Just like show of the year, like Stranger Things, get out of town.
I'm sure it is.
My favorite. This might have been on Resetera, was just Resident Evil characters from the games with captions of their characters from the TV series saying ridiculously stupid stuff. Dorito it. It's fantastic. let's see here. I'm the only one here that cares about soccer, but Mario Strikers.
Cared about it, you'd call it football game.
I do, actually, in other circles here. Mario Strikers announced their next or first sort of content release. Daisy, who was not in the game, is being added, as is Shy Guy. Speaking of soccer or football, EA's last FIFA game is coming out or was announced coming out later this year. Adds a lot of women's soccer teams. That's cool. And Mark's not here to tell me that we don't care about soccer. I do. And then after that, FIFA is off and doing its own thing. So that's also sort of why this is interesting.
You know what's more interesting, Gabe?
Yeah.
Is that if you look up the Resident Evil show, I just found an article that says it is one of the worst rated Netflix shows of all time.
I know. I wanted Mark for that.
Rotten Tomatoes score and an average user rating of 3.6 on IMDb.
Oh, it went down since the article I copied because it was at 22% Rotten Tomatoes.
How that compares to Cowboy Bebop, because that was a pretty bad one too.
I feel Cowboy Bebop was more disappointing and a letdown than bad. I feel that's
sounds
my...
almost worse, because at least if something's like real bad, there is camp value and it's like a fun time.
True.
That is my game. That is what I expected from the Netflix series, or from this, especially after that recent Resident Evil movie that was also bad, but not that bad because I saw it dubbed in Japanese by accident because I bought the wrong ticket and went, "Well, I'm here," and watched the whole thing with the Japanese dub. And went,
probably
okay.
Makes it a little better.
It did. I had a good time. And that's it for the news, unless there's anything else. Oh, John, are you going to do the Stranger of Paradise DLC that got released, I believe, yesterday at the time of this recording goes up onto the internet?
I still haven't played through the main game, so probably not. Okay. I feel bad for like that team. Like, it happened with Neo
as
well. Like,
good game.
I played the shit out of the Neo demo. I played the shit out of the Stranger Paradise demo, and then both times I didn't really touch the game.
I think I saw this somewhere that the DLC is like locked behind the hardest difficulty setting. Is that true?
Yes. So I'm going to. Yes. But.
It sounds like John wouldn't have been playing it anyway. Hey!
Oh, snap! Oh, John on blast.
I don't even have a comeback for that, because, like, yeah, you're probably right.
So the thing is, like, it is one of the Neo Stranger Paradise. These Diablo like games are very much the, like, you just need the right gear and level kind of, or difficulty kind of doesn't really matter. So, like, when I played the heck out of that game for those 2 weekends, like, I managed to get to the super max level of, the cap was 300 at the time, and it was a steamroll because I managed to look up a build that would let me steamroll and go through things willy-nilly after spending, you know, 5 hours grinding for loot. So when I saw that stuff, I was like, oh, okay, is it actually, like, it's locked behind the hardest difficulty, but is it hard? Like, if you have the cheese build, it may not actually be hard.
Not if so you I spent 400 hours and leveled up to level 300 like you gave, but for the normal people.
Hey, okay, two things. One, it's a gear level thing, not an experience, like a character level thing. Two, all you had to do was join the, like, super high difficulty room, mooch off the loot, and then you could get yourself up to max level relatively quickly. Then you looked up the cheese build.
Oh, so you were
builds.
Just taking advantage of the hard efforts. Okay, I see.
I did. And then I paid it back by doing the same for a few randos on the inner tubes. I like the game. I actually bought the PC version of this game with the season pass. So I might actually check out the DLC and come back in with a report on next show.
Nice.
But until then, John, where can they find us?
You're supposed to ask yourself. Like,
hey, until
myself,
then,
where can they find us? Myself,
me, where can they find us? Well, me, I guess I'll do the prompt myself. You can find us at our homepage, 8-4.jp, newly upgraded to the year 2022. Congratulations.
Upgraded to the year like 2016 or so. But yeah, we've definitely moved up at least a decade.
It was one generation after GeoCities was the old website, and now are comfortably into a modern website. 8-4.jp, once again. Our second home, giantbomb.com. We have Tina's cat mewing in the background. We might
That's
be able
Biggie.
To pick
She's so- saying, bitches, it's time to wrap it up now. Come on, let's go. Hi, honey.
Find us on our second home, giantbomb.com. You can leave a comment on our thread on Resetera, or you can leave 5-star reviews on your podcast platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast. Those are the only three I remember off the top of my head. Or you can follow the show on Twitter at 84play. You can follow me on Twitter at Gabriel De Leon. I guess I should spell it out because I noticed some people saying they had trouble. D-E-L-E-O-N.
It's part of the appeal, the allure, man. You know, they got to find you. They really want to find you. They got to dig deep.
You can also go to GabesEarlJones.com. I bought that domain and pointed it to my Twitter.
Very good.
John, where can they find you on Twitter?
John TV. How about you, Tina?
I'm Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z. Roy.
I'm at Kodori.
Roy, do you want to tease us with, have you tweeted since last show? Is it something that you want to, like...
No.
Mark is a big fan. Do you want to tease?
Well,
Mark,
so I will say that that tweet that he, like, told everybody to like, it's only up to 54 likes, so I'm not impressed. Uh-oh. In fact, I think that this is reason alone that we should not have a Patreon, because our audience just can't be mobilized.
Oh, shit.
So we're giving up on it. Sorry, guys.
No, that's called activate. We can't
really
activate.
Really, really quick, Roy, yes. I don't mean to put you on the spot. How are the shrews?
Oh, I'm still working on them. I work on them every weekend. Yeah.
You stream at, right, Roy?
But then I've been working on the sprite for the player character, and man, it's been taking me a lot of time, very small changes, and I was like, I cannot stream this. I just need focus and concentration. So yeah,
sure.
I'm getting close to being
whenever,
done.
Whenever those shrews are ready to see the world is excited to see the shrews.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Roy, are you doing Monster Hunter? I feel like you're
doing what?
Sunbreak?
Oh, no, probably not.
No, just kidding. Wow. None of us. All right. I will.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
get
that.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's so, I mean, I have some friends and some, you know, I see a lot of people here in Japan who are super hyped about that, but I would be too, but I guess, yeah, you know, it's become like almost, for me, it's become like Pokemon where like, I need to do like every third or something now because they come out too often.
That's right. And there is a Pokemon coming this year.
investment into it. Yeah, yeah.
Scarlet and Violet.
Pokemon yet. I kind of got back into Pokemon Go because after I moved, I say kind of because I'm not like super into it yet, but like I'm actually turning it on, which is more than it used to be.
Did your new house overlap a Pokestop?
A Pokestop. I have 3 Pokestops in range of my bedroom and a gym.
Oh, shit.
Dang. And I didn't even plan it.
Damn. That's why that rent was so high.
Yeah. So like now it's like, okay, well, I have everything I need without leaving my bed. So how can I not play Pokemon Go? So I'm kind of like dabbling.
That is a fantastic idea, actually, because as mentioned, I will be moving by next show. And that might actually be a way to just explore the area, especially because I'm in the world of old people that I'll be moving to. So
I thought you don't like bugs. Why do you want to collect Pokemon? Like started out from like a dude's bug collection becoming like a thing. Like it just seems
but like you look at that Pikachu and you don't tell me that you don't feel something.
There's a lot of negatives in that sentence.
In your shorts.
Whoa, why do we have to make it there? John? All right, yes. Until then, thank you for joining us on this episode. Mark may probably not. We got to figure out what the Mark situation is. He has a crazy schedule coming up.
Maybe he
can
do one. He's somewhere secret right now. Maybe he can do one from the local place and we'll all take a nice summer vacation next week. We'll
mayhaps. But until then, tell a friend about the show. And then have them tell 2 friends, and then word will spread. And, until then, who wants to take us out?
Max Power, the name you'd like to touch, but you mustn't touch. Nobody?
Was there more?
His name sounds good in your ear. But when you say it, you mustn't hear, because his name can be said by anyone.
I don't get it, but it works for me.
Whoa. I'm with you. Simpsons, I want to say season 9 or 10.
Oh, I stopped watching the Simpsons.
It was the episode where Homer wanted a new name, so he picked a bitchin' name like Max Power, because he's an intelligent man.
And then they changed the character, and then...
I follow this Twitter account, Homer's Best Bits. It is one of the few joys in life on Twitter.
Those are really great. Like I follow one on Facebook that's Curtis E. Bear, the Curtis E. Bear. And it's just basically like your daily Simpsons highlight. And it's just, you know, get this for breakfast again. Is it St. Swithin's Day already? Tis, replied Aunt Helga. Just like all this shit you forget was in the show, and every single one is a fucking banger.